Good morning, Northland Church. How are we doing this morning? All right, you all look well. You look good. Pastor Greg has his blazer on. I love it. I knew something special was going to happen this morning because I said, "Oh, Pastor Greg he's dressed up today." So I know the Lord is going to do something great. Yes, amen. I'm just always so grateful for the privilege and honor to be able to share the word this morning. I'm thankful to the leadership and just for the trust that they have placed in me. And then this morning, we're going to continue what Tom started last week, where we started speaking about just the importance of community, the power of community. Before I go into that, though, I would love to honor Pastor Greg, Tyler, and Tom for inviting me into community. We came as a struggling church a few years ago. They invited me into their meetings. They loved on me. They took me out to some good lunches. Yeah. You know, we had some great Mexican food and, all that stuff. And, I'm a big fan of food. But it was really life-changing for me. My leadership and just who I am as a person, as a husband, as a father, as a servant, as a leader, I am better because of these three men. And it all happened in community. So thank you guys. I tip my hat to you for welcoming me and for pouring into me. And those are some of the things that can only happen in community. And as I was thinking about this message this week, I was thinking about just this great message of the gospel that we hold dear. This great message of the gospel, the word gospel means good news, the good news of salvation that is only found in Jesus. But as I was thinking about the gospel overall and we zoom out a little bit, we can see that not only is the gospel a transformative message of salvation, but it's also an invitation. It's an invitation into reconciliation, restoration, redemption, but it's also the invitation to become part of God's family within community. So it's such a great message. It's such an inclusive message. It's a message for everyone, as John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." So when we do accept this message, when we do accept this Savior, not only do we come part of the family of God, but we're also invited to different communities. As I see all the communities that exist within Northlands, and I see that the Lord is just doing a mighty, mighty work within these four walls and outside of the four walls. We've heard testimonies of people gathering around the table, people meeting in coffee shops, in homes, and we see that the Lord is doing a mighty, mighty work. How many of you can say amen? As always, I like to teach you a few words in Spanish. How many of you are ready to learn? All right. This is an entire phrase, so if you don't get it, it's okay. We'll send it out in the notes later on. My mother, I was kind of a bad kid, if we could just put it out that way. I always got myself in trouble. I was always looking for sinful stuff to do. And my mom used to always tell me, she used to say this, ready? Mira con quien andas y te diré quién eres. That's powerful, right? Yeah. All right, but now let me translate that. Basically, what she was saying to me is, show me who you're hanging out with and I'll tell you who you are. Show me who you're hanging out with, and I'll tell you who you are. Basically, the people that are around us, the influence that is around us, will shape us, right? It will mold us. And, I was such a broken kid, such an angry kid. And as I look back on my life, I look for community in all the wrong places. How many of you have ever heard that song, "Looking for Love"? In all the wrong places. Well, I am the poster child of looking for love in all the wrong places. And as I've grown up in the Lord, as I matured and I've become less young, because I'm still young, I realized that out of a root of rejection, I look for community in the wrong places. And sometimes there are things in us that have shaped us, right, that molded us into the people that we are today. And I truly believe that it is within community where the Lord will begin to break down those walls. It is within community with different people that look different from us, that have different backgrounds and cultures. And that's what I love about Northlands. We all have a story of where we come from. And now we are part of this great community. So there's something special about community, and there's something powerful within community. And in Acts chapter 2, as Tom read to us last week, the early church really modeled what it is to be a thriving community. They loved coming together, they prayed together, they served each other. And as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer." My favorite part there is breaking bread, as you can tell. But this, here are the components of true community. As we just look at this, just this one verse, right? The Word of God is so rich that one verse can just help us understand what community really is. And here are the components of true community: devotion and commitment. They prioritize the scriptures. They gathered together. They ate together. They prayed together. And as Tyler was speaking about your generosity, they practiced generosity. They provided for each other's needs. And what is the fruit of all they did? It says that some of the wealthier people within the community, within that church, they would sell their goods to provide for those that were less fortunate. And what are some of the fruit that we see? Because if you read on verse 47, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Now, why do you think that is? This is what I believe about true community. I think authentic community is attractive and contagious. Authentic community is attractive and contagious. You know, we talk about Gen Z, you know, they have this real discernment for fake. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, they're seeking something authentic. And what I love about authentic community is that it is attractive and contagious. Just people want to be a part of it. And this is what we see in the early first century church, that they loved one another, they served one another, they ate together, they carried each other's burdens, and there were people that were witnessing this. They were seeing this lived out on every day, and they were like, "Man, I want me some of that." Yeah. And I truly believe that Northlands Church is that type of community where people are going to come from the four corners of this state because they want authentic community, because it is attractive and contagious. You know, the truth about our human nature is that every human being has a longing for belonging. That's why I got into so much trouble. That's why I, you know, joined the wrong communities. You know, as a 13, 14-year-old, you know, I was out in the streets of New York City, and I was, you know, I had such roots of rejection and bitterness and anger. I was an angry kid, but I still wanted to belong. There was still this longing in my heart to belong somewhere, and the community that accepted me exactly as I was the gang community. And I got involved in all different types of crazy stuff. I can't mention some of it because I don't want to incriminate myself. Grace covered all of that. Yes, we're in church. My past is in the past. I am a new creature in Christ. And my record has been expunged. But I was looking to belong, and I joined the wrong community, and I did the wrong thing. But it was the first time that I ever felt like I belonged. And I love that about the local church. This is a place where you belong. This is a place where you come as you are. This is not a place where we're going to disciple you towards your behavior. We're going to disciple you towards your identity. That is one of the values here at Northlands Church. Every human being has a longing for belonging. We want to be part of something, and God made us that way. He created us for relationships and intimacy. They say that one of the worst things for prisoners is to be in solitary confinement, because they are detached from community. They are detached on their own. And if you look at Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It's important for us to be in relationship, to walk out these relationships, and we get to do that in community. If you really look at the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it's about the essence of human relationships and the need for community. How many of you know that we need each other? I can't do this without you, and you can't do this without me. We need each other because we are better and stronger together. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good preaching. Amen. 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 We live in a world, listen to this, that's more connected than ever. And yet the longing for true and authentic community is stronger than ever. Right? We're connected digitally, right? We belong to some of these online communities, and yet we still desire something authentic and real, something that we can touch, something that we can feel. And as a community, we get to share in safe and nurturing relationships. Now, one of the things that Pastor Tom said last week that really spoke to me was that you really can't become who you're meant to be outside of community. That's so good. That was such a nugget. I wrote it down because it's true. There's going to be people that God is going to bring on your journey groups, right? That he's going to use to pour into you, to really help you grow and mature. And I truly believe that outside of community is really hard to become who you are meant to be. One of the other things that he said is that within community, we are going to have to be vulnerable. And I think that can be a scary place. But when we have these communities, we have these nurturing environments, you know, little by little, as we take the steps of faith, we can become who God has called us to be, because there are people that are not only believing in us and lifting us up, but they're speaking life into us. How many of you have experienced that? In a difficult moment in your life, filled with anxiety, uncertainty, somebody came, held your hand, and gave you an encouraging word. I have been there on both sides of that coin. And let me tell you, I am so thankful for our community. As a community, we get to share, right, in these nurturing relationships. We get to strengthen and enrich each other's faith to be a community that is life-giving. How many of you know that community is life-giving? You know, I love my brother William Fisher. How many of you love William? The reason why I mention William is because he is a person that oozes love. And let me tell you something. Every time I am around William, I feel strengthened, I feel encouraged, and most of all, I feel loved. And when we feel loved, that means that we feel accepted. That means that we feel like we belong, and that is the community that he's calling us to be. The local church is a community of faith, and love is stimulated in community, and that is the great fruit that is produced in community, and we see this in Acts chapter 2. Now, I looked up the word community in the dictionary, as I do, and a community is a group of people with a shared characteristic, such as a place, a set of norms, a culture, religion, values, customs, or identity. When we look at the New Testament, there's a word that is mentioned 19 times, and that is the word koinonia. Say it with me. Koinonia. That is the Greek word for community and fellowship. This is a Greek word that is used about 19 times in the New Testament, and it means fellowship, it means community, it means communion, it means joint participation, and sharing in intimacy. And we first see this word used in Acts 2:42. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and koinonia. That means that they were committed to this thing called community. And on top of all of that, it goes deeper, and it means a covenant of fellowship. It is a covenant of fellowship, and it is full of intimacy and unity. That's why it says they devoted themselves. That means that they made a conscious decision that I'm going to be in community with you whether I think like you or not. I'm going to be in community with you whether I vote like you or not. I'm going to be in community with you even though you come from a different background. I'm going to be in community with you even though you speak a different language. I'm going to be in community with you even though you have a weird accent. I'm going to be in community with you even though your food is different. We make a conscious decision to be in covenant with fellow believers, and that is koinonia. And that's what God is building in this place. That's what the Lord is breathing on our community. It's just something beautiful where different people from different backgrounds, from different places can come together under the banner of the cross. Amen. Now, the book of Hebrews encourages us to keep gathering together because it produces something in us. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." How many know that the Lord is faithful? It says that his faithfulness reaches the heavens. Now, we read verse 24, and it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." That means that we should be each other's cheerleaders. We should celebrate the stories of service. We should celebrate the stories of community. And we've heard so many great testimonies, and we want to continue to hear great testimonies of what God is doing around the dinner tables, what God is doing at coffee shops, what God is doing in meal trains. If you've been blessed by a meal train from Northlands, can you just raise your hand real quick? I haven't yet, so I'm gonna put myself on that list. Amen. But that's just a fruit of community. That's what happens. When one of us is going through something, there's somebody else that jumps in and sends out an email to 20 people. "Hey, this family's in need. We need to provide food. We need to provide this. We need to provide that. Who's with me?" And then you see people start to respond, and then, "I got this. I got Thursday. I got Thursday's dinner. I have Friday's dinner. You know what? I collect a little bit of funds. I'm going to share it with this family." And this is what's going on within our community. On Thursday nights at the Awakening, we are feeding people. Troy and his team are feeding this community that is dealing with brokenness and addiction. And I've seen it with my own eyes, and I see the authentic community that is being built on Thursday nights. And that's what we see that is happening within our community. So we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Verse 25 says, "And not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." So that means get to church, be here consistently, right? Because that's how we grow, right? I can't survive on a meal just on a Sunday. Can you? No, we have to continue to gather together. And it says, "But encouraging each other all the more you see as the day is approaching." Proverbs 27, 17. I think we are all familiar with this verse. Solomon says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." I don't know, have you ever tried that before? Like two pieces of iron? That there's some tension, right? Even it even provides some sparks, and it could be even uncomfortable in certain portions of it, right? Because it's two rough materials coming together, sharpening each other. You know, there are people in your life that will act as your sandpaper. Yeah, I've had so many of those people. I'm like, "Lord, why do you keep sending me sandpaper?" And the Lord says, "Because I'm smoothing you out, my son. Because there's a lot of rough edges in you. And I need to smooth you out." And I love this scripture. It says that iron sharpens iron, right? We become sharper and stronger and smoother. And we are encouraged, we are shaped, we are challenged, and we are also held accountable in community. I think that is so important. I think being held accountable in certain aspects is even more important than being encouraged. Because when we're held accountable, we are told the truth in love, the truth with grace. And I've experienced that. I've had people that are way smarter than me and older than me and wiser than me and say, hey, you may want to consider this. And we are to be humble enough to receive that accountability. How many of you can say amen? Amen. All right, you still with me? Yeah. All right. So community produces fruit and it helps us reach our potential. And we can use our gifts to serve one another. And this is what I know to be true about community. Purposeful community powers lasting change. Purposeful community powers lasting change. There's something that is transformed within us when we see how people serve, when we see how people love one another. Scriptures say that we are to weep with those who weep, and we are to laugh with those who laugh. We are to celebrate with those that are celebrating, and we are to mourn with those that are mourning. Because we are a community, and purposeful community powers lasting change. Now, statistics, I love to look up statistics. Statistics paint a powerful picture for us today. And as I mentioned this earlier, many have more digital connections than human connections. When that's the case, then that's something needs to change. And there's more growing in isolation. There are people that are in isolation and people that are lonelier than ever. How could that be in 2025? Have you asked yourself that question? How can that be that there are people struggling with loneliness today? So many connections everywhere, right? So many ways to connect, but there's people that are struggling with loneliness. Many are emotionally disconnected. And as human beings, we were created for intimacy because we are better together. God designed us for community. In a world that often emphasizes individualism. How many of you have seen this? Oh, it's about my brand, yeah. Right? We even see preachers online that it's all about their brand. How many of you have seen this? Yeah. There was even an Instagram page created called Preachers and Sneakers. How many of you ever heard of this? I have not been on it, so. Nor do I want to be. Nor do I want to be, trust me. But it's true. It's like, hey, here's my ministry. Hey, look how powerfully God is using me. Look how cool I look as I'm preaching. I'm posing right now. But it's true. We see that there are some people that use the gospel as a platform. And the gospel is not a platform. The gospel is a message of transformation. And it points people to a Savior. It points people to Jesus, who is the King. Amen? Yeah, oh, I'm preaching. I'm about to get Pentecostal in here. But it's true, this is not about a platform. This is about a message of hope. This is about a message of inclusion. This is about a message that we are a community that comes together under the banner of the cross, under the blood of Jesus, and that is the King that you and I represent. This is not about my political affiliation or what country I'm from. This is about me being a citizen of heaven. That's what Paul says. Your citizenship is now in heaven, and we are all citizens of heaven. How many can say amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap real quick. It's not about a brand. It's about the cross. Now, speaking of brands, I want to share a quick story of a guy named Jerry, a guy named Zeev, and a guy named Gordon. If you see the picture coming up, that's Jerry Baldwin, Zeev Siegel, and Gordon Bowker. Look at those handsome guys. That looks like 1970, if you look at the picture really, really quickly. So these men really understood the power and draw of community. And on March 3rd, 1971, they created a company that not only focused on the product, because you got to have a good product, right? But they were not just on the product they were selling, but also sold an atmosphere and sold belonging to a community. They sold a place and a space where you belong, a place where they know your name. All right, I'm a child of the 80s and the 90s. How many of you guys remember Cheers? Remember that show? I used to love Cheers, right? It was a place where everybody knows your name. And you guys remember Norm, the big guy? Right, when he would come in, Norm, and he would just, you know, wave and then go consume alcohol for hours and hours and hours. But that's something for another day. But if we go to the next slide, look at the company they founded. Yeah. That's why they write the name, your name on the cup. Because they want you to feel like you're seen and that you're known and that you belong. This is why you and I have this longing for belonging. And as a community, whether we're at church or at the dinner table, we are to create an atmosphere when we gather, right? That it is a place where the presence of God resides. That is the most important part about community, that the presence of God resides. And it becomes a space where we belong because of the power of community. We are better together. We are better in community. There is strength in numbers. Matthew 18, 20 says, "For where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there with them." His promise is, I am there with you. And I love what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. He says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That means there's some fight in us as community. Yeah. Amen? Now, this verse underscores the transformative power of community, where the collective presence of believers invokes divine presence and guidance from the Holy Spirit. You make me better, and hopefully I make you better. And we're on this journey together, journey groups, for a single... Nice. You like how I plugged that in, right? We're on this journey together for a single purpose, and that's to reach our community for Jesus. They may look different, right? They may dress different. They may come from different backgrounds, but we have been commissioned to reach our community via the Great Commission. The Great Commission, right? Preach the gospel in all of the world to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not only are we preaching this gospel so people can get saved, but also so that they can be part of community. It's so important. Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together and unity. I don't know about you, but Sunday mornings, I just wake up with such joy. I just wake up, I'm like, man, I'm going to go see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to get some hugs. I'm going to get a few cups of coffee, right? And I'm just going to connect with people. And I love connecting with people. I don't know about you, but there is just something special. We were created that way to connect with people. That's why if you're new here today, go by the New Here station so that we can get to know who you are, not only know your name, we'll also give you a cup of coffee, but we also want to know how we can pray for you. We want to know how we can connect with you. We'd love to hear your story and how we can serve you. how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Community nurtures growth. And this was so evident in Acts chapter 2. We cannot live isolated or insulated lives. We cannot live isolated or insulated lives. That's why it's so important for us to become part of a community. There was an early church father, his name was Basil, and look what he says. He says, when we live our lives in isolation, what we have is unavailable, and what we lack is unprocurable. That's powerful. I had to read it a few times so I can understand it. But it's powerful. It says what we have is unavailable to the rest of the people because we're not in community. The grace gift that God has deposited in you is not available to those around you when we're not in community. The gifts that we've been given, number one, is to honor God. And number two, and it's to edify the people. And it's so important and it's so powerful what Basil says. I believe that community is the bridge from isolation to connection. Community is the bridge from isolation to connection. Now, I want to read to you really quickly Mark chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. There's such a powerful story about community. There was these four men. Their friend was paralyzed, and Jesus was teaching at a home, and the place was packed. How many of you are familiar with that story? Right? So Jesus is teaching inside this home, and it's packed because people wanted to hear Jesus teach. And then let's pick up on Mark chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. And it says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. That's community right there. That's the power of community. We lift each other up. And it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was laying on. Think about this logistically. That's hard. Think about the creativity in community. Think about the will and the drive. Because these four men knew if we can only get him to Jesus, we know that he is the miracle worker. And if we get him to him, he's gonna get up off that mat. And that happened, that miracle, that healing happened because he had a community that cared. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. It's funny that he doesn't heal him first, right? No, he says your sins are forgiven because Jesus' plan is always to save your soul. And then he'll heal your disease. If we continue reading, verse 11 and 12, look what happens. It says, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And what did he do? He got up, he took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Why did this miracle take place? It's because there was a community of four that loved the fifth man so much that they carried him and they did what was logistically impossible. They lower him through the roof, and Jesus is so amazed and he is so touched by their faith that not only does he heal him, but he saves his soul. And all of this happened because there is a community that loved this man. And there was a community that believed in the healing and restorative power of their king. His name was Jesus. This is what community produces. Community provides strength and support. It fosters spiritual growth. It demonstrates the love of Christ, and it fuels encouragement and perseverance. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." One of the important marks, one of the important characteristics as the word community describes is that we love one another. And there's some of us here that will be need to carry spiritually at times, just as these men carried their friend into the place where Jesus was teaching. Now, here's my ask. My ask is, I know Tom spoke about sometimes we've been burned by the local church. Sometimes we've had bad experiences in community. But here's my ask today from the bottom of my heart. Will you go from a row into a circle? Will you go from your row and into a circle? It's time to find our tribe. Will you go from a row and into a circle? Let us pray. Lord, I just want to honor you this morning. Father, thank you for showing us that there is power in community. Lord, thank you for Northlands Church. Thank you for every person that is here today, Lord. And Father, we may be a little afraid or a little skeptical of joining a journey group or being part of a community, Lord. Lord, will you settle our hearts this morning? Give us peace and guide us to the right tribe or the right journey group. And Father, I pray that those that may be hesitating, that you touch their hearts so that they may move from their row to a circle in Jesus' name.